The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive football stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com. What's up, everyone? I want to tell you about a car that you are going to love. Check it out. The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third row seating, I love that, available dual wireless charging pads ensure that you can take on any adventure. So let's say you're ready to take the family on a camping trip or something like that. The Santa Fe is perfect for you. You've got all-wheel drive. You can load everyone up in the third row. It's time to start being adventurous, and you need the right car, and that's the Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
This is Fantasy Football Today from CBS Sports.
What a play! Can you believe this?
No, I can't.
It's time to dominate your fantasy league.
Off to the races, and he stays on his feet.
This is going to go the distance.
Now, here's some combination of Adam, Dave, Jamie, and Heath.
Four big games this weekend. We are going to talk about them and give you some awesome DFS lineups, I hope, anyway. We're going to talk about the top six running backs in our rankings for 2023. I would say, what do you think, guys? Kind of easy top four, and then it gets tricky? That's how I felt.
I'm going to say there seems to be a consensus top four, and I will guess a consensus top seven. So it's kind of like what we talked about the quarterbacks earlier this week, where there's like one tier and then the second tier. And then after that, it might be a free-for-all.
What do you think, Chris Towers? Oh, hello, Chris Towers.
Hello. I think there's a clear top two. I think there's probably a next tier, but I think it's much less clear after the top two. I think like you can start to make cases for guys starting at four, I would say, but the top two and really top three is probably in cement already.
Top three? Ooh, I disagree. I already changed my number three. I already flip-flopped three and four. Well, anyway, we'll talk about that shortly. Also, do you think the top two is set in stone in a half PPR league or a non-PPR league, or is that strictly a full PPR thing? Because obviously you're talking about McCaffrey, Eckler. I don't know that Eckler is number two in a non or half PPR league.
Excuse me, I was talking about Kareem Hunt and Jamal Williams.
Oh, my bad.
Yeah. Yeah, I think there could be some serious consideration, especially in the case of Eckler, of not being there in a non-PPR setting.
Yeah, I mean, McCaffrey's number one. Eckler in half PPR was number one per game. Oh, he's not number one?
Not in PPR, for me, anyway.
Really?
Yes.
Wow. Okay. Wow. Woo. Wow. Wow. Wee. Wow. All right. Anyway, that's Chris. That's Dave. I'm Adam. Welcome to the show. Happy Friday, everybody. Get ready for a fun weekend, I think, of football. It should be really good. I had a tough time with DFS because there's only one team that I really want to avoid, and that's the Giants. Right? I mean, I feel like it's going to be a high-scoring game, and then, of course, that means high-scoring weekend. Of course, that means the Giants are probably the best contrarian pick. But we've got some really good offenses remaining here and honestly some bad defenses. That's the second half of the show. First half is the rankings. And why don't we get to that after this is a little bit random. I want to give an upset pick, but can I only get credit if it happens and no blame if it doesn't? But I don't really.
No.
I kind of think the Jaguars are going to win. So here's what I'm going to tell you. I'm going to pick the Chiefs. I may even pick them to cover. I don't know, but there's just, and it's a big spread, but there's just a part of me that really thinks the Jaguars are going to win. And I don't know if they do win. What does that mean for me as a selfish person here? What does that mean for me? Do I get any credit?
No one cares about anything that happens to any of us individually.
I think it's so unlikely that the Jaguars win that, like, I would give you some small amount of credit, a modicum of credit, a souchon of credit.
Okay. It doesn't make sense to pick against the Chiefs. They're so good, and they're at home. And
so then why would you even speak on it?
I'm just feeling it. Look, can we talk about the Chiefs the last 3 years? Let me see. They won the Super Bowl. They lost in the Super Bowl. They lost in the conference championship game. Mm-hmm. Follow the pattern. They're going to lose in the divisional game.
That's why you're picking Jacksonville?
The Jaguars were 9-8 in the regular season, but 7-1 over their last eight games. That's really impressive. You know who's also 7-1 in their last eight games?
The Chiefs. Yeah.
I believe they are 10-1 in their last 11.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I just like the Chiefs can't really stop anyone. You know, and then they have a history of playing better defense late in the season, but it hasn't really happened. So, I mean, the Broncos scored against them. I think the Jaguars are going to score. That's what I think.
They held the Seahawks to 10 and the Raiders to 13.
Yeah, they still had the Stidham Raiders to 13.
Yeah.
But the Seahawks, the Raiders, you're right. You can throw out. No Lockett in that game, I think, but that was still impressive.
The Stidham Raiders, who put up 34 against the 49ers. Let's not forget.
That's true. All right, last word, Dave.
Jacksonville should have blown out the Chargers last week if not for the turnovers in the first half. I think it would have been a much different game if Trevor Lawrence could keep the ball out of Los Angeles's hands. So maybe there's going to be a little bit more of an emphasis on not turning the ball over and not taking as many chances, but I don't know if that's really who they are at this point. I think they like being aggressive. I think they like keeping their foot on the gas. I think they like their run game. I agree with you that Jacksonville's going to put up points. I just think Kansas City's going to put up more points. Yeah. And I think it'll be an entertaining game. And I don't think that Jacksonville will lose by like 9 or 10 points or anything like that. It'll be a one possession game that Jacksonville will put up a hard fought effort, but it'll be Kansas City who will make fewer mistakes and they will win.
Yeah, they'll probably win. But just letting you know, I want to pick Jacksonville.
Now, let's do this the way it should be done. Would you like to hear an upset pick from the weekend? That I'm not going to say, I only want credit for it if it happens.
Well, you should.
The pick is on CBSSports.com. I pick every game straight up and against the spread during the season. Don't ask how I'm doing because it's not great. But I'm taking the Cowboys to beat the 49ers this weekend.
It seems reasonable. I mean, Brock Purdy's gotten a lot of credit.
I thought I was being bold.
But, he Purdy's was reasonable. Begging for an interception in that first playoff game. He didn't get it. Mm-hmm. But, he is it's a great story. I think he's pretty good. He clearly has the brain for playing quarterback at the NFL level. I don't think he has the physical skills, but there is a world in which he has a 3 or 4 interception game and he doesn't play that differently than he has so far.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. I'm not really sure the Cowboys can run the ball. I think that, you know, they'll be one dimensional. It's going to be in Dak's hands. And honestly, the 49ers.
That worked out well for them last week.
It did. And the 49ers, they struggle against receivers. And they're probably not going to be able to pressure the quarterback this week the way they usually do. We know how good the Cowboys' offensive line is playing.
Yes.
So, unless, I think I
You're
said
making
this
the
yesterday.
Case for me.
No,
You're
I agree. And I'm picking the Niners, but I think it's a good pick. I think it's a good upset pick.
I feel like people have been waiting for reason to root against Dak, or to say Dak Prescott's overrated. I feel like there's constantly this drumbeat, and six different times this season his receivers had the ball go off their hands and into a defender's hands, and that was the excuse that people used to say, see, I told you Dak Prescott's not that good. And mm-hmm. No, Dak Prescott's really, really good.
He doesn't have a great history against good teams. So this, if he could win this game, he can almost erase everything. This would be a huge win for him. And honestly, the Bucks aren't a good team. So
no, that's true.
No
but
disrespect
they blew
to Dak,
out the
honestly.
Bucks.
Yeah, they did.
And the Bucks on the defensive side of the ball is better than the Bucks on the offensive side of the ball.
All right, let's get to our running back rankings here. And Sportsline, I'll tell you about that. If you want some picks for this weekend, if you want some fantasy advice next year, or some DFS picks or some player props, those types of things, Sportsline.com, 99 cents for your first month when you sign up using the code TACKLE. You will not regret it. You will love it. 99 cents for your first month when you use the code TACKLE. Go to sportsline.com and sign up with that promo code TACKLE. What an awesome website. Great resource for you sports fans. Top six running backs. We'll probably talk about more than six guys, but who are one and two?
Christian McCaffrey and Austin Eckler.
Same.
Big shocks, right? Shockwaves going through with those two being at the top.
Chris, I thought
top
you said McCaffrey wasn't one.
On a PPR game basis last year.
Okay, yes. Yeah, so Dave and I have McCaffrey and Eckler and Chris, what do you have?
Yeah, it's Christian McCaffrey and Austin Eckler in some order. Some of us may have Austin Eckler number one, but it's one of those two guys, I think, fairly easily.
Okay, why do you have Eckler one? And let me see if this matters to you. He averaged 7.1 catches per game in the first 12 games of the season. That's Eckler. And he averaged only 4.4 catches per game in the last five games of the season with Keenan Allen and Mike Williams. So I don't think that included week 18. I don't think when Williams got hurt, I wish I remembered because I don't remember if Eckler came out early in that game, but bottom line is there was that five game stretch with Allen and Williams and the catches went way down 4.4 down from 7.1. So is that a factor for you?
I think you can take that into account, but I think that's sort of weighting things unfairly in Christian McCaffrey's favor because you also have to take into account the very significant workload changes that resulted when Elijah Mitchell was healthy and able to play. And now I know that's been a big issue for him in his career, but when Elijah Mitchell's been active, even when Christian McCaffrey's there, we've seen it in a handful of games. I think it's four times that those two have played together since McCaffrey got to San Francisco, not counting the game where McCaffrey was traded. I don't know if Mitchell was healthy for that one, but they've played four games and Christian McCaffrey's averaged like 16 PPR points per game. He's averaged four catches and 4.5 targets per game in those four games. His rush attempts have gone down only 9.3 per game it's like 10.5. I didn't include the playoff game in the rush attempts calculation. And look, it's a small sample size and you can say, well, they blew out the Seahawks and then some of Mitchell's carries came. But I think it comes down to the 49ers just have a math problem for fantasy football. And we don't know who the quarterback's going to be, but the presence of Trey Lance at QB could potentially make that math problem even more difficult because he's probably not going to throw to the running backs as often. He's going to take some rushing touchdowns. So I just think Eckler's got a more clear path to sustaining the kind of touches he needs than McCaffrey does.
Chris, what happens if the Chargers address the running back position and they get a physical grinder to come in and take some work off of 28-year-old Austin Eckler's plate?
I think that's a potential issue, but I also think like he actually didn't have nearly as many goal line touchdowns this season as he did the year before. He scored a bunch of touchdowns from like 10, 12, 13, 20. I think he had like 8 touchdowns from outside of the 10-yard line this season. And maybe you can say he won't sustain that, but Austin Eckler's such an explosive player that I think that's always going to be a part of his game. I think, yeah, it's possible that they grab someone, but we've been waiting for that to happen. Like, we've been saying that's going to happen each of the past two seasons, and it hasn't.
They've tried. They just haven't.
They have tried.
Resources. Right.
And maybe they'll go out and invest a second-round pick, or maybe they'll go out and add somebody. But, like, this is a team that their costs are about to start ballooning with, Justin Herbert getting close to an extension. So they're going to have that discussion. It's possible that happens, but it's not as big of a concern for me as the fact that Christian McCaffrey already has that competition.
All right, Dave, let's talk about the other guys, I think, right?
Okay.
Right, yeah, just to move it along. Number three and number four, Dave, who do you got at number three and number four?
Jonathan Taylor, man, he's going to be number three for me. Old habits die hard. He's such a talented running back. It was a terrible situation this year for Indianapolis. I am counting on the Colts. Oh, boy, this is going to sound bad. I'm counting on the Colts to get it right. Get it right when it comes to the offensive line. Get it right when it comes to the play caller. And this might be the biggest reach of all. Get it right when it comes to the quarterback. If they come through on those things, then I think the situation will drastically improve for Jonathan Taylor, who should enter September as the most reliable part of the Indianapolis offense. And so I don't see his role slowing down. if they manage to get a conservative-ish play caller, then we're talking about 20 touches weekly for Jonathan Taylor. I'd be a big fan of that. I know they've got other running backs on the roster. I don't know if they've got a guy that's definitely going to take work away from him every single week to the same tune as Elijah Mitchell slash J.P. Mason from Christian McCaffrey or Isaiah Spiller slash Josh Kelly slash whoever they add at running back from Austin Eckler. And I still think, still believe that he can lead the NFL in rushing, that he can lead the NFL in rushing touchdowns. I think he's still a phenomenal talent. I think the high ankle sprain harpooned his season. He's number three for me. And then Saquon is fourth, just expecting him to stay in New York, counting on Brian Daboll to continue to use him well. Wish he'd get a little bit more work late in the season and into the playoffs, but how can you sneeze at two touchdowns? And I think that offensive line used to be such a weakness for the Giants. Adam, you know this. It's going to be even better next year than it was this year. And I see almost kind of a lot of the same things I said about Jonathan Taylor happening for Saquon Barkley. But it's already happening for Saquon. It just hasn't happened yet for Jonathan Taylor. I'm hoping that it does. Those guys are 3-4.
Okay, so you go Taylor, Barkley. So for Dave, it's McCaffrey, Eckler, Taylor, Barkley. For Chris, it's Eckler, McCaffrey. And then who's 3-4?
Taylor, Barkley. I think it's the same order. Taylor, it's just... This was pretty close to a worst case scenario for him. I don't think things are going to be as bad for him next season. And, you know, with Barkley, there was that weird second half swoon from week 11 on. He had as many finishes outside of the top 30 at running back as he did inside of the top 12. And that was despite his target volume actually going up in that span. We think the Giants are going to make some additions at the receiving core and make the offense a little better. But, you know, it's also like Barkley, I think he had 80% of the Giants running back fantasy points entering week 18. I didn't count week 18 in that calculation, but
he didn't play.
That was, so, right. What's that?
He didn't play week 18. So
yeah. I think it was one of the two highest marks in the NFL. So there's also room for someone else to come in and just have a role, even if it's four touches per game, that would be more than we usually saw. So I do think I also think Jonathan Taylor's probably a better player and he's got that home run potential as a rusher that, you know, I think it's a combination of similar ceiling, higher floor for Jonathan Taylor, probably.
Yeah. I don't know that Taylor is a better player. I think Barkley, you know, obviously we thought of him as the best running back in football not too long ago. I'm just really encouraged by the way he's finished the season. So I had Taylor then Barkley, just like you guys. But after the Minnesota game, after the playoff game, I did flip it. And the reason why is, I don't know who's a better player. They're obviously both elite talents. I don't know what happened to Barkley in that second half swoon you were talking about. It was weird. I think he maybe got a little overworked. He had like a 30-carry game or 35-carry game against the Texans, something like that, and then seemed to falter. But also Daniel Bellinger was out for a lot of that stretch, and Bellinger's shown to be a great blocker. He's basically their fullback. I mean, obviously we know him as a tight end, but you watch where he lines up. He's an H-back. He's a lead blocker on a lot of runs. When he came back, I think it really helped him. He just seems to have found it again. I think he's more dynamic in the passing game than Jonathan Taylor, without question. He's a better receiver. But the reason I flipped Barkley ahead of Taylor, guys, is because I just have a ton of faith in the Giants' offensive coaching staff. I think they're brilliant. I think they are scheming so well. It's amazing watching these wide receivers. Look at their wide receivers. Who are they? Hodgins, Slayton, and James, and they're scheming them wide open on all these plays. So I just have a ton of faith in the Giants. I think the Giants' offense is actually trending up, and I'm trying not to be too skewed by recent games against the Vikings and the Colts, but I have a lot of faith in the offensive staff there, and I'm just a little bit concerned about the Colts' direction. You know, Dave is laying out the scenario where they get everything right in the offseason. They haven't gotten everything right in the offseason in a while. They've gone retread quarterback after retread quarterback, and it just hasn't worked. Their offensive line was a strength. It isn't anymore. So I just, look, they're 3-4, so it's not right. We're splitting hairs here. But I have more faith in the Giants' offense going forward than I do in the Colts' offense, and that's why I put Barkley ahead of Taylor. That's why I flipped them last week.
I have tried to avoid, like, it can't get worse type of analysis because it can always get worse. You look at the Colts' offense this year.
It got worse.
Yeah, like, we didn't think, oh, man, Carson Wentz was such a disaster. It can always get worse, you know? And so I want to avoid that kind of thought process, but that's part of it with Indianapolis. It's just like, we saw Jonathan Taylor be the number one running back with Carson Wentz as his quarterback. So clearly he can only be held back so much by the situation around him.
But right, can't you say the same thing about Barkley? Because we saw Barkley be the number one running back with Daniel Jones as his quarterback. I think that was rookie Daniel Jones, if I'm not mistaken.
Was it? Was he the number one running back that year? I thought that was Eli's year.
He was like tied for... he was number one, or he was tied for number one or something like that in PPR. I thought that was Daniel Jones. I could be wrong.
I'm checking.
Yeah, I can check right now.
I think you might be wrong.
It was Barkley's
rookie
second
season, right? That was an Eli
year. Daniel Jones' rookie season was 2019.
Yeah.
Saquon that year, 1,000 yards, 6 touchdowns.
That was the year he was dealing with the high ankle sprain.
438 yards and 2 touchdowns. That's not the profile of a number one running back.
What, 2019? You're saying
2019?
Yeah.
No, 2018, I guess. So maybe it
2018 was Saquon's rookie year, but that was with Eli. 2019 was Daniel Jones' rookie.
Elias was bad that year, as I recall. But
yes.
Yeah, I mean they both. Ryan's that's bad. The thing. They're both amazing running backs at their at their best. Manning threw 21 touchdowns, 11 interceptions in 16 games that year. All right, anyway, let's go to 5 and 6 here because this is where it gets really interesting. All right, who do you got? Chris, I'll let you go first. Who's 5 and 6? So you go Eckler, McCaffrey, Taylor, Barkley. Dave goes McCaffrey, Eckler, Taylor, Barkley. I go McCaffrey, Eckler, Barkley, Taylor. We all have the same top four in some order. I think things are going to change a bit here. 5 and 6, Chris.
Gigantic asterisk on number 5, but it is Josh Jacobs for now. And then Derrick Henry at number 6. And Josh Jacobs, I think if he goes back to Las Vegas, the situation with Josh McDaniels, the fact that they used him so heavily, and Josh McDaniels did exactly what Josh McDaniels' offenses always do, which is produce a ton of points for running back. So I think if he returns there, he's my number 5, and I'm just going to assume he is for now because that's the status quo. And then Derrick Henry, I mean, I've always been a little lower on Derrick Henry than the consensus, but you know, there are the fact that he showed no ill effects coming back from that foot injury, I think really makes him, you know, he's 29, so there's some concern, but I think he's shown he's about as steady as you can get at that position.
Dave, who you got?
I'm hoping for a leap from Kenneth Walker. I love the rookie. I love what he did when he had the opportunity to be the main back for Seattle. He averaged almost 16 PPR points per game from week 6 on, and that includes some major duds down the stretch. Maybe he was a little gassed by then. We know the Seahawks offensive line wasn't at its best by then. And we know that the Seattle offense, although they changed personnel considerably this year, I still think they want to be able to run the ball. I still think that's going to be the foundation of what they do. And Walker's got a chance to be, I think he can be a 3-down back for them. Now, I don't know if he actually gets that opportunity. He did not get that opportunity very often this year, but I think he can get there. I think he's got potential to get around 1,700 total yards, dozen total touchdowns, catch the ball a little bit more. I'm expecting Seattle's offense to basically stay the same, not change play callers, not change quarterback, maybe improve that offensive line a little bit. They had rookie starting tackles. Those guys are going to enter next year with a year's worth of experience. I think that's going to help a lot. So I'm buying into Walker, 22 years old, as the 5th running back on my board. Derrick Henry's 6th for me too. And I just, the dude's like a beast of a man. Impossible to take down, amazing numbers. And kind of along the lines of what I said about the Colts, I expect the Titans to do something to help their offensive line. It was in tatters this year. I mean, I don't know if I need to get into Taylor Lewan and how much time he continues to miss. And the starting guards were a mess, and their starting center had 2 concussions and sat out the rest of the year. They need to rebuild that line. And if they do a good job of that now with new GM Rand Carthon making picks and Vrabel coaching him up, I feel good about Henry's chances to be maybe a little bit more explosive next year. And he's going to be 29 next year, and we usually head for the hills with 29-year-old running backs. But anybody who's watched Derrick Henry knows that he's a different guy. And it's almost the same thing that I said when I told people to take him with a top 5 pick last year. He's a different guy. And until there's more evidence, and we'll look for it on film, but until there's more evidence of Henry himself slowing down, breaking down, I think we just keep riding it in fantasy. I still think he's worth a first half of the, well, maybe not the first half of the first round, but still worth a first round pick.
If you just want to use yards per carry, then there's a lot of evidence 2 years in a row. And it could be that his offensive line has gotten worse, and it's probably a big part of it.
That's a huge reason.
But he hasn't been as consistently great as he's been in the past.
But
and it makes sense because he's getting older and he's had a ton of work. So I also have Henry sixth. It's funny, we all have the same top four in a slightly different order. We all have Derrick Henry sixth. We have three different running backs at five. Chris has Josh Jacobs, Dave has Ken Walker. I have Joe Mixon, but hate that, and we'll probably be changing that.
Yeah, you're going to change.
Continues
that.
To play like crap, but he had 60 catches in 14 games or something like that. So that's a pretty
and just pretty had big separator. So many green zone touches this year. I think he had like the third most in the NFL and turned them into 9 touchdowns or whatever it was. It was wild how inefficient he was.
You know, his workload and his opportunity and the offense he was on, if Joe Mixon had a good year, he could have been the number one running back in fantasy.
Absolutely.
So that's what's pulling me back to him. But gosh, every week where he just runs.
He just may not be that good.
Yeah, maybe it's true.
No, I think he's still good. I just think the offense is not revolving around him nearly as much.
But even when it was,
it's hard to watch Samaje Perine step in and arguably outplay you and still do the like, man, Joe Mixon is this great player. Like, he's just, it doesn't matter really because the role is so good that he's going to be an RB1 either way. And he's number 8 for me, so I'm not too far down. But it's just, we've given him a lot of credit for being a very good runner that, you know, the results haven't really backed up for most of his career.
Yeah, 100% agree. It's been a career-long thing. That's and you know, anyway, I don't know how you'd average 3.9 yards per carry on this team facing so many light boxes and so many advantageous situations, but he is still going to get a ton of work on a great offense. And he's going to catch passes. Yep. Anyway, so Mixon's in consideration for me, but I think I'm going to tell you who I want at 5 and 6 right now, because Henry scares me too. I want it to be Bijan Robinson and Breece Hall. You know, and I could see it being that for many. You know, if Breece Hall is healthy and he looks good in the preseason, then he's gonna skyrocket. If Bijan Robinson,
number 7 for me.
Okay, so he won't even go that much higher, but it's just you don't know what to expect. Robinson is this phenom. He's gonna be probably a top 10 pick. Good chance to be a top 10 pick. A high prospect at running back. We know rookie running backs can be really good. So I think 5 and 6 are gonna be changing a lot. Chris, you were gonna say something I think about Derrick Henry.
He rushed for almost 500 fewer yards in 2022 than he did in 2020. Remember that year he rushed for 2,027 yards. He only averaged 1.9 PPR points per game less than that season, which is pretty impressive because he nearly doubled his receiving total.
Yeah.
He had 33 catches, 398 yards this season. He didn't have any receiving touchdowns. I think that's something that you can,
he almost did.
Yeah, I mean, he's always a threat. We've seen it a few times in his career to go for 70 yards on a screen play. Didn't have any this season, only 13 rushing touchdowns on 349 carries. I think it's a situation where the offense is likely to get better. He doesn't need to rush for 5.5 yards per carry because the workload's so big, especially if he's going to catch. You know, it's only 33 passes, but hey, if you go from 19 to 33 receptions, that's the equivalent of rushing for about 300, 400 extra yards once you add in the receiving yardage with it. So I just think that's a really promising sign that he might age a little better than I was worried he would.
Yeah. Before we take a break and get into DFS, I want to ask you guys, Dave, I guess specifically since you had him 5th, I look at two young running backs. They've been in the league for a different amount of times, but they have both 1 year under their belt. You know, very talented. One was a first round pick. One was, a second round pick. Sorry, I should know that. Ken Walker, second round pick.
Mm-hmm.
Drafted in similar ranges. Both had great college careers. Why is everybody taking Walker over ETN? I mean, ETN, half a yard more per carry. I think he was better per catch. I wish they threw to him more, but they still threw
me
him,
too.
He still had more catches than Walker. He didn't score as many touchdowns, but I think you could argue easily that he's a better player. I think you could argue either way. So maybe we'll call that a wash. But we all, I think, have, well, actually, I don't know about Chris, but I have Walker over ETN 1 spot. Dave obviously has Walker over ETN. Chris, do you?
Right now, I have ETN ahead, but neither made my top 12 initially.
Oh, wow. Okay. So, Dave, why did you put Ken Walker over ETN? Let's just finish with that little debate.
Just because we've seen Walker in that big dog role where he can rumble for touchdowns and he can also break away for long touchdowns. ETN can obviously do that too. My beef with ETN, number one, it's that he's a smaller running back, so he's not as physical. And number two, they didn't throw to him nearly as much as I thought they would this year. Now that can change.
But they threw to him more than Ken Walker got thrown to.
They did throw to him more than Ken Walker, but how big was the difference?
Not that big.
It was like three targets per game versus 2.3 or something.
11 catches.
Over 16 or however many games.
In three more games. Like three more games because they both left one game super
early. The profile for ETN coming out of Clemson was this dude's going to catch five passes a week. And he's not a natural pass catcher, though. No.
He's got pretty iffy hands. That's the one thing that, you know, watching him in preseason especially kind of soured me on him is he wasn't as consistent as a pass catcher as I expected him to be.
Sure. And maybe that's something that he works on. We've seen running backs improve on that as they get older. We know he has experience doing it because we saw it in college. Is he the next Alvin Kamara? I've said that before. It's probably not going to happen like that. But he's got potential to be a good pass catching running back. Until we can see him like really start to be in that huge, he's already kind of been in that lead role for Jacksonville.
Yeah, he was getting 20 plus carries every week. I think I need to see more catches
and more touchdowns. And when I see something like that, I'll love ETN. I'm not ready to project that quite yet. But if you want to talk about running backs in good spots where they're going to see light boxes, I'm over the moon for what this Jacksonville passing game should look like next year because they've got everybody that they have now. Plus, they're going to have Calvin Ridley, and the offensive line should be better. And Trevor's going to be another year stronger as a quarterback.
Yeah.
Like, we're seeing him develop before our eyes now. So there's a case to be made for ETN to be a very good fantasy running back. I'm not there yet.
Can I give you guys an interesting stat about Kenneth Walker? I'm not sure how to feel about it.
Yeah.
He ranked 16th out of 48 qualifiers in rushing yards per attempt over expectation. This is per NFL Next Gen Stats at 0.52. So above average, 16th out of 48 qualifiers.
Yeah, but that's still not amazing. Right.
He had in terms of his number, percent of carries that went over expectation, only 33.5% were he gained more yards than expected, the second lowest rate among qualifiers. I think he was only ahead of James Robinson.
Yep.
So super, super boomer bust player. But the fact that he was relatively efficient while having a bunch of carries that he didn't really get much out of, if he can just kind of be a little bit more efficient on a per carry basis and keep the home run plays, I mean, he reminds me a little of Jonathan Taylor in that way, where he's got the ability to, you know, kind of make your week with one run. And there aren't a lot of running backs who can do that. And so, you know, the other thing that I would say in his favor relative to Travis Etienne is, we did at least see, I think, one or two games where Kenneth Walker was relied on pretty heavily in the passing game. He had that 9-target game at one point. I don't think ETN really ever had any big target games.
No,
what was his season high in targets? Like five or six?
Five. Yeah, and so that only happened twice.
That makes me think that maybe there's a little more upside.
You know what's funny about that, actually, now looking at it? Those two games with five targets and one game with four targets, they all came with James Robinson. After the Robinson trade, he never had more than three targets in a game because they were using him more as a rusher.
Yeah, Walker had the 1 8-target game and then another with five. So I wonder if like there's a little more room for some upside as a pass catcher with Kenneth Walker.
Yeah, and then I just say like, okay, I know he's had some drops. I know he didn't get a ton of targets this year, but he was an incredible weapon in the passing game in college, and Walker wasn't.
Yeah.
So I just think, you know, I mean, I have Walker ahead because I think he's more of a prototypical guy that can carry the workload. You're right about ETN's size, Dave. He did have five games, including the playoffs, with 19 or more carries, but it just doesn't feel like that kind of player. But anyway, yeah, I just thought it was kind of an interesting comparison because ETN, except for touchdowns, I would say he had a more encouraging season. On that Ken Walker note, this is why, I mean, like, advanced stats are fun, but you gotta take them with a grain of salt, right? So, this is kind of the same thing that Chris was mentioning. There were 42 running backs that had 100 or more carries, and he had the second worst percentage of carries for zero or negative yards, second highest percentage of carries for zero or negative yards. Only, but here are some other players who are in the bottom 13, all right? McCaffrey, Eckler, Pollard, Chubb, Jonathan Taylor, Travis Etienne, Dalvin Cook. They all were bad. He was worse, but they were all bad.
I'm surprised Saquon Barkley's not on there because that's the profile that makes me think of him as well. Saquon Barkley, for most of his NFL career, has been a lot of 1-2 yard carries and then the home run.
Yep. Yeah. Is there a lot of players that are like that?
Yeah. It's not necessarily a bad thing if you have, like Kenneth Walker does, 4-4 speed. You know, if you have 4-3-5 speed like Jonathan Taylor, then you could it's bad if you're David Montgomery.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right. All right. Let's take a break here. And when we come back, we have a trivia question from Dave, which I've already gotten wrong. And we've got, we'll talk about the Baltimore offense with Greg Roman stepping down, and we'll give you our DFS lineups, take a look at the weather for the weekend, and some players you might want to put in your DFS lineups. And I promised player props. I forgot to do them. So I hope you guys, Dave, did you?
I've got a bunch.
Whew, okay. We'll be right back on Fantasy Football Today.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Did you know that while over 60% of Americans dream of starting their own business, less than 20% of them take the first step? The reason? Building a business is tough. Taylor Brands is simplifying the business journey. From launching and managing to growing your business, Taylor Brands isn't just another tool. It's your online business partner from launch to success. With Taylor Brands, building your dream business becomes an effortless experience. Their comprehensive platform guides you through every step, ensuring you have everything you need in one place. From LLC formation to bookkeeping, invoicing to acquiring licenses and permits, and even setting up your bank account, Taylor Brands handles it all seamlessly. And our listeners will receive 35% off Taylor Brands LLC formation plans using our link, taylorbrands.com/CBS Sports. That's TAILORBRANDS.com/CBS Sports. So start your business journey today with Taylor Brands.
Ready for some trivia, Chris?
Yes.
All right,
here we
Dave,
go.
Go for it.
148 players in the National Football League ran at least 250 routes. Which wide receiver ran the lowest percentage of routes of 11-plus yards? So we're staying tethered to the line of scrimmage here. Which wide receiver ran the lowest percentage, meaning the highest percentage of short routes?
First thought was Keenan Allen or... Oh, what was the other guy I was thinking of? Amon-Ra St. Brown.
I said Richie James, because I knew Daniel Jones didn't throw the ball downfield much, and Richie James doesn't, but I was wrong. So is Chris right?
Nope.
Okay.
Who is
neither? Neither guess was correct. But this does tie into Breece Hall.
Okay, so Garrett Wilson?
No way.
No, oh, definitely not Garrett Wilson. No.
Braxton.
It doesn't tie into Breece Hall's team.
Okay.
It ties into his injury.
Oh, Chris Godwin.
Chris Godwin. Now, Godwin's been running short routes since forever, but it stood out to me that Godwin was the worst among wide receivers on those short area routes, which made him great as a short area target for Brady. It's what helped him become a great PPR wide receiver, but he wasn't really good in non-PPR. Everybody who had him in non-PPR knows that. So one of the topics, and I've talked about this, we really need to look at how players have done coming back from the ACL. And we got to apply it to Breece Hall. And again, every player is different. Just because the last six running backs that tore an ACL took a year to get back into form or whatever, that might be the case. It might not be the case with Breece Hall. We had two running backs come back for Achilles injuries in the NFL this year. One of them started the year strong and then faded. And then the other one was terrible at the beginning of the year and then finished the year strong. Everybody's different. But that piece of trivia stood out to me, and then I wanted to tie that into Breece Hall and the ACL tear. And Javonte Williams, too. He also tore his ACL. Why limit it to just Breece Hall?
No,
Williams, is his ACL absolutely more special than Javonte Williams' ACL? Adam?
Yeah, I mean,
no, it's not.
Thank you.
The Javonte versus Breece Hall thing is really interesting because Breece Hall, obviously his was what, a month later in the calendar, but
against Denver.
Much better. I think he's a much better player than Javonte Williams.
He's a much better player than most running backs. Wasn't it against Denver that he tore his ACL?
That could be right.
Pretty sure.
Maybe.
Hack
it.
So
Daniel Hackett.
Maybe not. Everybody. Maybe not. Yes, it was.
I'm just going to blame Nathaniel Hackett.
Four carries, 72 yards, and a touchdown at Denver in his last game.
He looked like a legit, like a Saquon Barkley, Jonathan Taylor level talent. And that's what a lot of the scouting reports and a lot of the, you know, advanced analytics from him in college suggested he would be. So I saw enough to think that as long as he recovers from that ACL, he's going to be a special, special player.
Okay, thank you for the trivia question, Dave Richard. And news and notes, Baltimore offensive coordinator Greg Roman, I don't know if he stepped down or if he was fired. They said he stepped down. The report was
mutually agreed to part ways.
There you go. So he's out, and Lamar Jackson, we'll see what happens. Franchise tag, trade, long-term extension.
They went over the top.
They did.
In their press conference to make it sound like he was staying. He's going to have a hand in picking the next offensive
coordinator. It takes two to tango, Dave. It takes two.
Oh, you don't think – first of all, if they decide they want him, they've got the franchise tag.
Yeah, but if
I don't see Lamar Jackson not signing the franchise tag and leaving that kind of money on the table. He'll with a chance to still get another payday after.
But
he's going to be the Ravens quarterback next year.
We saw a quarterback within the last 2 years sign an extension and then hold out for a full season before he played a game on that extension.
Who was that?
Deshaun Watson.
No.
Obviously, the circumstances there were a little different, but he was not playing before.
He was not playing. He wasn't a holdout, though. He wasn't. Yeah. Usually when you hold out, that implies that you're on
contract.
Yeah. All right. Well, is this a good thing or a bad thing for Lamar Jackson? Greg Roman stepping down or fired, whatever.
Fired down. I think it's good. I think getting somebody who can give like a fresh mindset on what this offense could be is a step forward. Maybe they were a little too predictable. Perhaps it was Roman who was telling other coaches, we don't need wide receivers. We can win with what we've got. I don't know. I'll tell you one thing. I don't think they did a very good job adjusting to life after Lamar Jackson this year until their playoff game. And even that ended up burning them.
I think it's as simple as a new pair of eyes probably can't hurt at this point. I think that offense had stagnated. I think, you know, what we saw in the MVP season, they tried to replicate. And I think it's a situation where, look, Lamar Jackson, his production this season was very tied to Rashad Bateman's availability. And so I think even though Rashad Bateman's not necessarily a stud number one wide receiver yet, you know, we saw a significant decrease in his production when Rashad Bateman got hurt. So I do think this is a situation where getting Lamar Jackson more help in the passing game can only help. And I don't think losing Greg Roman's going to hurt necessarily.
All right, so let's take a look at the weekend slate here. We've got four games, and on Saturday it is Jacksonville at the Chiefs at 4:30. That's on NBC. The Chiefs are 9-point favorites. The total is 52.5. That's the highest of the slate. Also Saturday night, the Giants are at the Eagles. The Eagles are 7.5-point favorites. This game's on Fox. Giants and Eagles have a 48-point total. Bengals and Bills have a 49-point total. The Bills are 5.5-point favorites. I've already wagered both the money line and the spread on the Bengals, plus 5.5.
So now everyone knows what to do.
I think the 5.5 points is because of Jonah Williams. And obviously their offensive line is in shambles right now. I get it. The Bills, since the Von Miller injury, have had the 22nd best pass rush or pressure rate in the NFL. That's before the playoff game. I don't know what it was in the playoff game, but, since the Von Miller injury through the end of the regular season, they really haven't had a very good pass rush. I'm not saying it won't be a factor, but I don't think they can cover the Bengals. But anyway, more on that in a bit. And that game's on CBS. And the Cowboys and the 49ers are at 6:30 on Sunday on Fox. And the Cowboys are 4-point underdogs. The total there is 46.5. As Chris mentioned, that's the lowest point total of the weekend, but still 46.5. So we're expecting a lot of points. All right. So that I thought that was interesting from a DFS standpoint, guys. And you look at the weather, too. it doesn't seem like there's going to be anything too impactful. The Buffalo and Kansas City games are probably going to be in the 30s with some.
I thought I saw a little bit of snow, maybe.
Yeah, a little bit of snow and maybe some rain too, but like some precipitation, but nothing's going to stick. Not a lot of wind. Eagles game is going to be, maybe around 40 degrees, almost no chance of rain. The 49ers game is in San Francisco. It's going to be about 50 degrees or so, very little chance of rain there. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know, Dave. It's just like, how do you differentiate yourself? Because I think there's so many good offensive options this week.
I don't know if you really focus on differentiating yourself. Obviously, that's something that you want to do if you're playing in a tournament. I think what the easiest thing to do is to not follow the players who were great last week and are in a matchup again this week where you just immediately look and you say, okay, they should be great again. And you see, like, Dak going up against San Francisco, I think the general public views the 49ers defense as a dominant unit, and they are very good. I'm not sure if people are willing to trust Dak Prescott there. I would. People might be willing to trust Daniel Jones because of that rushing potential, but general public knows what the defense is like for the Eagles. I don't know if they're going to be ready to go and follow Daniel Jones again. I think you'll probably see a lot of lineups that have Brock Purdy at quarterback because he's inexpensive, and then they'll be strong at other positions. McCaffrey will probably be in there. So some sort of 49er stack. And I think you'll see a lot of lineups that are going to be either Bengal stacks because they see what you see, Adam, in that matchup against Buffalo, or Chiefs stacks, where they'll use Mahomes with some combination of McKinnon, Tony, and Kelsey. And they roll with what seems to be tried and true and safe with those two teams.
Chris, how do you see it?
I think there's one fairly obvious play at quarterback that I think is, I would expect Trevor Lawrence to be one of the highest rostered quarterbacks given the $7,600 price tag and, a matchup that is likely to skew pass heavy against the Chiefs and, a team that gave up the 31st or the second most points to opposing quarterbacks. So I think that's a situation where Trevor Lawrence feels really good. And I think, it's harder with the wide receivers. I think I would go Zay Jones over Christian Kirk just to save some money. But, I think both of those guys are in play. And it kind of depends. Like, I'm going cheap at running back, and I'm doubling up on Eagles running backs in my lineup, as we'll talk about later, just because that's the one that I could see turning into a blowout the easiest.
I think running back is really tough this week. Yes. There aren't a lot that I really like. And
I'm a little scared of Christian McCaffrey.
That's one that I think he's just going to be such a focal point for them. I do think I want to get him in my lineup. I want to get McCaffrey and I want to get Kelsey in my lineup, which is hard. It's not easy. But those guys, in positions where I just don't feel great about them. Wide receiver is deep. Right? We like wide receiver this week. Quarterback is deep. To me, the only quarterback I don't want to play is Daniel Jones. And like I said, that makes the Giants the most contrarian stack. If they can put up points. The Eagles' defense wasn't as great down the stretch as it was earlier in the year. The Giants' offense is playing a little bit better. I feel like they moved the ball fairly well in Week 18 with Davis Webb and all the wide receivers sitting.
They did.
Right? Yeah, so there's did. Some
pretty well had game, some good though. Runs. Webb had some
I mean, it was
plays.
A weird game, but the Eagles had everything to play for. The Giants sat so many
Their starters
players.
Played. Eagles starters played on D.
So I can see
they
it.
Just,
I'm
they just played
there.
Really poorly. It was a weird, weird game on both sides of the ball for the Eagles. I don't know what to take from it.
And that's the thing. We don't know about Jalen Hurts. But if you could tell me that Jalen Hurts was 100% healthy, I think they'd light up the Giants, and I'd go with an Eagles stack for sure.
Like, if I'm going into a tournament, that's the stack I think
that's
I want to play.
My DraftKings stack, yeah.
Because you can either, good for you, you can either win the whole thing because there's so much risk with Hurts. We don't know what type of Hurts we're going to get. He claims he's back to normal. He effectively said that this week. He's not on the injury report. Being back to normal and then also being in a position where he's going to run for two touchdowns and throw for two touchdowns, I don't know if that's the same exact thing. So okay. He might cost you, but he's the one with the most reward, if you ask me,
of all the quarterbacks this week.
All right, so then let's do like kind of a list here of big overarching questions. What's your favorite stack?
I took the Cowboys. I wanted to try and pick one that wouldn't be so obvious or so popular. McCaffrey, Lamb, Schultz.
Okay.
Not McCaffrey. I'm sorry. McCaffrey's in my lineup too. He's the bring back. Prescott, Lamb, Schultz.
Chris?
I think 49ers. You know, the problem is I don't know who is going to be good, so I'd rather just not pay up for Christian McCaffrey given the workload concerns that I've talked about with Elijah Mitchell healthy. But I think having Brock Purdy, like I think Brock Purdy's going to be pretty good for fantasy because he's got so many weapons. And I think, you know, you can get Deebo Samuel and Brandon Ayuk for relatively cheap. I don't know which of them is going to be featured or be very good in any given game, but they're both such good players that I just kind of want exposure to that.
And I like basically every single stack except for the Giants, which is the contrarian stack. But I really feel like we're just going to have a ton of offense. And I wouldn't play the Cowboys running backs, but like Prescott, Lamb, Schultz is like Dave's doing. That's great. But if I had to pick one, it's Eagles for upside. And I would say Bengals. I'm just very high on them this week. I don't think they're going to run the ball that much or that efficiently. So I think the Bills have coverage issues, in my opinion. And Bengals, yeah, and then you can throw Gabe Davis in there, who's pretty cheap, like to kind of reverse the stack. The contrarian stack for me is the Giants. Do you guys see another contrarian stack? I think the Cowboys actually would qualify, Dave. I don't know how many people are going to be on them.
Yeah, I don't know. Like
Jaguars, too, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know if the Jaguars are a contrarian stack because I think Trevor Lawrence's price and the matchup make him a pretty obvious play, but you know, like Zay Jones and Evan Ingram could be a contrarian stack that a lot of people aren't going to have.
Right. All right. Who's the like a must-have player or a great bargain? Someone that you think is going to be in a lot of your lineups?
Kelsey.
Deebo for me.
Deebo, how come?
Just because he's the seventh priced wide receiver, and I think he's going to be given a platform to play well. Cowboys run defense is really good too. So my guess is that the 49ers don't lean on McCaffrey as a pure running back. They don't lean on Deebo as a pure running back. Of course, those guys are going to get work. Deebo had three carries last week, but Debo's a yak machine. And I think he's got a chance to really be like what I talked about with Jalen Hurts. He's got the upside to be just absolutely amazing.
And that Cowboys defense, you know, they started out great, but in the second half of the season, especially against in the past, you know, they ended up being 28th in fantasy points allowed to wide receivers this season.
Yeah, and they lost a key cornerback and things went downhill. For me, I said it last week, and I'm going back to Gabe Davis, guys. Josh Allen has thrown 9 passes of 35 or more air yards in his last 2 games. Mm-hmm. He threw 17 in his first 15 games. So he's airing it out, and Gabe Davis is benefiting. And the Bengals, if you look at the Bengals, they have faced, I think, one good quarterback this year, and it was Mahomes. And he threw 27 passes and didn't have a great game, 20 points. They have had the easiest quarterback schedule because even when they face teams with good quarterbacks, they've gotten the backups. They knocked out Tua in the second quarter, and it's unbelievable. So I don't think their defense is anything special. I mean, I think it's solid. But I don't see a reason why Josh Allen can't have a big game, and I think Gabe Davis will benefit. So he is not even a top 10 wide receiver in price on either FanDuel or DraftKings. And then you mentioned Zay Jones, Chris. Basically, every time Trevor Lawrence throws a lot, like more than 37 passes,
yep, Zay Jones is good. Absolutely, this is a great stat.
And the Chiefs see the second most pass attempts in the NFL. Maybe it's the third most. I don't see a scenario where Trevor Lawrence is not throwing a lot. Yep. So Zay Jones is even cheaper than Gabe Davis. So those are guys you could use there. Any players that you want to avoid like the plague, like I said about DK Metcalf last week, which was the dumbest thing I've ever said, which is saying something, because, you know.
My initial thought was Isaiah Pacheco, and I still want to stay away from him. But, you know, Clyde Edwards-Helaire doesn't look like he's going to play now, so that changes that a little bit.
Reed said he wasn't going to play.
But
What about Ronald Jones, Chris?
When the games matter, it's going to be McKinnon.
Yeah.
And so I think Pacheco, like his over-under is 53.5. I did a parlay with under rushing yards for him over receiving yards for Jerick McKinnon in that one.
Yeah, no, Ronald Jones was a big deal in week 18. It was so weird. I don't think probably nobody paid attention, but yeah, you got two straight games with like 7 to 9 carries for Isaiah Pacheco. He has scored in both of them. Dave, who are you avoiding?
Giants, basically. Don't feel good about anybody, even Saquon Barkley. Isaiah Hodgins, maybe, just because I think he can return 3 times value, but I don't think he's got the upside to do what he did last week. Richie James, maybe, because I think he can bounce back a little bit from what he did last week. One of those guys will probably end up being in my lineup, but I really am nervous about the Giants offense, which we talked about earlier this week. Looked amazing versus Minnesota twice and schematically did some nice things against Philadelphia in week 18. I'm nervous about them stepping up and doing it again against a good defense in Philadelphia.
So you probably know this better than I would, but Avante Maddox is out for the Eagles.
Gardner Johnson.
So he's going to be their slot guy?
He's going to be their slot guy.
Okay. So I mean, I'd like to avoid the outside receivers against the Eagles, but in my Eagles stack, I do have Richie James.
Me too.
You know, it's kind of this philosophy in fantasy, in DFS. If you're going to stack a team, you throw a wide receiver on the opponent because you're figuring, all right, this team's going to score a lot, so we want the opponent. They're going to have to throw a lot. So you go Eagles stack with a Giants wide receiver. You go Cowboys stack with a wide receiver for the Niners, that kind of deal. So, yeah, I don't really have a major avoid player, but I think probably Zeke and Pollard. Just this run defense is just incredible. And, you know, Zeke could always score. Pollard could always catch passes, but I don't see it.
Pollard qualifies as one of those super high upside players who won't be popular.
Yeah.
Zeke qualifies as a unpopular low upside player. So no one's going to use him.
The path
no one should
Zeke
feel
is-
good using him.
It's multiple touchdowns. That's the only path to being.
It's the only right. Yeah. What are the odds of that? It seems a little shaky.
So before I forget, Dave and Chris as well, you already gave one prop. We'll do lineups after this, but give me some player props that you like.
I'm going to give you the player props that I'm not going to give on our Early Edge player props live stream, which we do live every Friday, 4 p.m. Eastern on YouTube. We've been doing it all year. Don't ask how I did last week. Ask how I did the week before, though. That was pretty good. Zay Jones, over 54.5 receiving yards. You talked about it, Adam. I think that he's going to be involved. Richie James, over 4.5 catches, especially since he didn't get there last week. I think people are going to be nervous to take him. The odds are actually better this week than last week. I was going to say Saquon Barkley under 15.5 rush attempts. And I'm a little too nervous to call that one a great player prop, but I think that there's a chance that he gets game planned out of this, and there's been a lot of games, including last week, where he didn't get 16 plus rushes this season.
I think you're on to something there. That's 3 games in a row for him, and they're all wins, by the way. But
yeah, so, exactly.
Like, they are a passing team now. They are a passing team.
Joe Mixon over 12.5 rush attempts. I just think that number's too low. I know Mixon hasn't gotten there lately. I just wonder if he ends up getting a little bit more work. It might be a tough watch with that. He might only get 13. And Dak over 1.5 passing touchdowns, -129.
Okay, I'm doing the Zay Jones 52.5 receiving yards right now.
What are the odds that you're getting on that?
-104, basically even.
Yeah, so I'm seeing it on it used to be, so this is interesting, it was 54.5. Now, you said it's 52.5.
Yeah. No, I really like Zay. I mean, I like the passing game for the Jaguars, I think. Yeah, this is a good one. I'm excited about this one. Excellent. Okay. Let me see what Gabe Davis's are real quick. And then Chris, let's see. Player props for the Bills-Bengals game. Receiving yards is on Caesars. For Gabe Davis, it is 57.5.
Almost. Doesn't it feel like he's the type of player that's either going to get like 3 catches for 40 or 5 catches for 179 yards and 2
or
touchdowns.
3 catches for 179.
I'm going to take the over. Let's do it. Let's go over on Gabe Davis 57.5. But that's not. I'm much more signing off on the Zay Jones one than the Gabe Davis one. Chris, props you like?
The only one that I mentioned was the under Pacheco rushing over McKinnon receiving. That's the only one I've got in so far.
Okay. All right, so how about some lineups here? I've got FanDuel and DraftKings. I don't know what you guys have.
I've got 2 DraftKings.
Chris?
I've got FanDuel.
All right. So why don't we do FanDuel first? Go ahead, Chris. What's your FanDuel lineup?
Yeah, I'm going with Trevor Lawrence at quarterback. Travis Etienne at running back. I don't love that one. It was just kind of the last guy that fit. Boston Scott, just going with a little narrative streak, 9 touchdowns in 8 career games against the Giants. Why not? You need someone cheap. Wide receivers, Jamar Chase, Deebo Samuel, Brandon Ayuk. So taking advantage of the Cowboys defensive issues in the secondary. Richie James is my flex. Travis Kelce is my tight end. And I'm going with the Philadelphia Eagles defense, paying up for the defense there.
Yeah, it's hard to pay up for that defense on FanDuel.
Yes, I had to juggle some things around. That's why I ended up with Travis Etienne. I'm not sure how I feel about that, but I do feel like there is definitely some implosion potential here for Daniel Jones against a very good defense. They've done a remarkable job of avoiding that, though.
If I'm being 100% honest, I don't really like my FanDuel lineup that much. It's a 50-50 lineup. I like my DraftKings lineup more. It's got more upside. My FanDuel lineup, I did struggle a bit with here. So you know, I, honestly, there are weeks where I just don't play because I'm not going to lose.
Smart.
Right? So just being honest with you. But my lineup is, how about this? You like 49ers? I've got Brock Purdy, Christian McCaffrey, and Elijah Mitchell. Those are my top three there. Then the wide receivers are Chase, Higgins, Gabe Davis. So that's obviously a strength. Travis Kelce, Marvin Jones is my Boston Scott, basically. He's Marvin Jones and the Giants DST, the cheapest one. The only way I could get Chase, Higgins, Gabe Davis, Travis Kelce, basically. So Purdy is a really good value on FanDuel. He's the cheapest of the quarterbacks. I think he's going to be pretty popular. But I put Kelce in my lineup before anyone and made a lineup around him. All right, Dave, let's go to DraftKings. Give me your DraftKings lineups.
I've got two. First is the cash game lineup. Fast forward 30 seconds if you want the tournament lineup. Dak at quarterback, McCaffrey, and Miles Sanders at running back. He's running against the Giants. Their run defense isn't that good. CeeDee Lamb with the stack with Dak. Deebo Samuel, Richie James, they're in my lineups as well. Dalton Schultz at tight end. Kadarius Toney has upside.
Yeah.
4,100 too. So he's in my lineup. And I took the Bills DST at 2,900. Now the lineup that's got all kinds of like upside tournament play, I built this while we were on the air. Jalen Hurts, a quarterback, stacking him with Devontae Smith. And that's it for Philadelphia. No AJ Brown, no Dallas Goedert. Etienne and Pollard at running back. Deebo Samuel and Gabe Davis at wide receiver. And I'm going with the double tight ends just because they're so cheap, but I think they also have potential to have huge games. Dalton Schultz and Evan Engram at tight end and flex, and the Bills defense there at 2,900, but I could flip to any DST I want. So I think I am. I'm going to put Philly's defense in there instead.
All right, Chris, DraftKings lineup.
I only have FanDuel.
Oh, I'm sorry. All right. My DraftKings lineup is Jalen Hurts, who's the third most expensive quarterback on DraftKings. And, you know, if Jalen Hurts is right, he's facing the Giants. Giants have been so bad against quarterbacks, including, gosh, what Jalen Hurts did to the Giants when he was right in New York. Holy cow. They scored like 40-something points. So Hurts, McCaffrey, McKinnon, Devontae Smith, Zay Jones, Richie James, Dallas Goedert, Gabe Davis, and the Chiefs DST. So this lineup, I mean, I feel like this is a really good lineup if Jalen Hurts is right, because I got Hurts, Devontae Smith, and Dallas Goedert. I got McCaffrey and McKinnon. Zay Jones, we know we like him. Richie James and Gabe Davis, you know I like him. And the Chiefs DST. So that's my DraftKings lineup. Both of those are in 50-50s. That one is kind of more of a tourney type of lineup. I'm just going to say tourney now so people don't make fun of me. And
they're still going to make fun of you.
And that's it. That's it. So I just sit back and enjoy an awesome week of football. It should be great. Hopefully we have 4 great games, you know, but I think we'll probably have 3. For Dave and Chris, I am Adam. Thanks, and for Schaefer. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you on Monday to recap the games and talk some fantasy impact. Later.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and 3-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.